Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG presentation of results 2012, publication annual report 2012 conference call. I'm Selena, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to welcome you this afternoon here and to present our annual results. With me is Mladen Tomic, our investor relation head. We decided we want to start to talk you through briefly our presentation we published this morning on our webpage, and I will quickly talk you through some of the selected slides to give you a quick overview of our results, and then we are open to take your questions. I would like to start actually on page number 3, the overview of our 2012 results. Most importantly, in terms of strategic developments, we successfully completed our Valeura for Growth strategy. You remember that Valeura for Growth has been a combination of significant acquisitions and organic growth. We achieved all the targets which we defined in Valeura for Growth on the acquisition side. In terms of the acquisition in Germany with Convenience Concept and Dietz Brezelkönig, the acquisition we announced last autumn in the area of the live bread products, where we're active in retailing and the production of these products. In terms of the EBIT, we communicated the target late last year of about 65 million. We report now 65.8 million, so we are slightly above that guidance. In terms of EBITDA, we increased our result compared to last year by 3.6% on a level of 121.2 million. In Valeura Retail, our most significant division, the group results have been significantly affected by the acquisition in Germany of Convenience Concept and a one-time effect we had related to the divestment of our main property, our office building in Muttenz, where we realized a loss on the book value of 14.2 million. That loss is reported under the division of Valeura Retail. So if you come to the figures later, the EBIT figures for that division, you should remind yourself that these 14.2 million are a one-off effect that has to be adjusted. In terms of Valeura Services, the division where we exposed to the most to the declining press market, we completed some significant divestments last year. We announced last autumn the divestiture of Service Austria, our unit in Austria, active in the press distribution market. We realized there is significant gain on the book value. We also announced just ahead of Christmas that we will divest our wholesaling Swiss wholesaling unit that is reported under Valeura Services. This transaction has not been completed in 2012. It has been completed in January 2013. But overall, these two transactions result in a significant reduction of the exposure to the press market in Switzerland and Germany, Austria, and of the overall group of Valeura. Valeura Trade, we experienced significant headwinds in our classic trade categories, mainly related to margin pressures. We come to that later. The new categories, especially the recent acquisition of EMH and Scanco, performed according to our expectations. I turn now to page number five, just to give you a quick overview of the key financial metrics. Our external sales related to the acquisition grew significantly by 12%. We're now on the level of 3.3 billion Swiss francs. Net revenue grew by 1.1%, and also our gross profit and especially gross profit margin had a positive development. The positive margin development mainly related to the acquisition of Ditch that operates due to the integrated business model at a significant higher margin than the rest of our retail business. Overall, on a cost level, we managed our cost well and ended up with an EBIT of 65.8 billion that is slightly below the result of last year, 6.7% lower than last year. On page number seven, you see in the key balance sheet metrics the main impact of the acquisitions. Our balance sheet total grew by 45% to 1.6 billion. Our cash position increased also significantly. This also relates to the fact that we have not fully integrated these businesses in our financial management, the cash pools we operate. Therefore, we operate a higher cash position than in previous years. Related to the acquisitions, also goodwill increased by 360 million, and we had on the net working capital a slightly negative development. This again relates to the fact that the acquisitions have, especially Ditch Pretzelkoenig, has not fully been integrated in our group financial platform as of last year. The acquisition have been financed mainly through the issuance of new debt. We acquired Ditch Pretzelkoenig with a combination of the issuing of new shares and a significant debt that we took up in Q4 last year. Our net debt grew by 330 million to a level of 361. This results in a leverage ratio of 2.4 times as of the end of last year. This is well below the relevant covenants we negotiated with our banks, and the equity cover is within the guidance we gave earlier of 35 to 40% at the level of roughly 36%, which is even above the level we published in our half-year results 2012. If I give you now a quick overview on the different of the performance of the different division on page number eight, you see that we have overall a very stable result realized in retail. Our retail core business has been influenced by the convenience concept acquisition. We do not report Ditch Pretzelkoenig under retail. Ditch Pretzelkoenig is a separate segment in our reporting, so on the retail there is only the convenience concept acquisition consolidated. You see that the external sales grew significantly by 21.5%, and also the gross profit grew accordingly by 6.2% to a level of 606 million. We managed our cost well, and which resulted in an EBITDA adjusted for the book value loss on our divestiture of the Muttenz property, as I mentioned earlier, of roughly 70 million. On an EBIT, adjusted EBIT basis, we have realized 39.5 million. Reported EBIT, excluding the book value loss adjustment, is 25.3 million. If you turn to page number 9, you see actually that we performed well along all the geographies we operate and along all the formats. On the left-hand side of the chart, you see the significant increase in external sales in Germany. We grew the business by 93% there. This mainly related to the acquisition. But also in the other countries, we had a positive development. And on the right-hand side, you see that except for Caffè Spettacolo, where we closed some selected POS, we actually achieved growth across all the formats. On page number 10, we give you a quick overview on the Ditch Pretzelkönig performance. We own the business now for 5 months. We integrated it so far very successfully. There were no negative surprises. Actually, the result is very much in line with our expectation and our planning. Here you see very clearly it's a business that operates at a completely different margin than the rest of our business due to the fact that we own here not only the retail part of the business but also the production part. And this results in an EBITDA margin north of 20%, 21.1%. And we realized the EBIT in that business of 7 million. The business has been consolidated as of October 1st, so this is a 3 month impact on our 2012 numbers. On page 11, in terms of Alora service performance, we try to illustrate the reduction of the group exposure to the press market. We reported last year net revenues of 600 million in that division. This year, the reported net revenues are 465. But if you look at the two bars in the middle of the chart, shaded bars, the wholesale business Switzerland that we divested not last year but in January this year is included with 103 million. The service Austria business that we divested last end of last year is included with 93 million. These businesses are as of now not part of the group anymore. The 39 million is the net revenues we realized with our service business in Luxembourg, and the 230 million is the actual Swiss service business. And here you see the decrease of 10.6 million that is mainly due to the market decrease in the price market. That compares to 6.4% in Luxembourg, which also illustrates the fact that we operate in Switzerland in a quite challenging environment. Switzerland is, in terms of market deterioration in press, significantly ahead of other European markets. As of now, we have, on a comparable basis, a business now with an exposure of total roughly 270 million. Which compares to the 600 million last year. So our overall exposure to that market has been reduced, and appropriate measures have been taken to further manage the downturn here. I will come to that later. In terms of gross profit, obviously you also see here a significant decrease in the overall gross profit. Margin increased slightly. Operating costs have been managed very well, which resulted then in an EBITDA of 15.4 million and EBITDA margin of 3.3%. And on an EBIT level, the business contributed 12 million to our group. On page number 12, Valora Trade, on the left-hand side, you see that we actually realize quite significant growth in net revenues across all the geographies. Most importantly, you see in the Nordics the new categories, which are the travel retail, food service, and the cosmetic categories, have been growing up to a level of almost 200 million by 19.5%. Due to the fact that this is one of our areas of main strategic focus, a business, the new categories that as a business operate at higher margins than the classic businesses, we still have the most significant part of our net revenues. In terms of gross profit, I mentioned earlier, we have been in an extremely challenging environment, especially towards the end of the second half year. Margin decreased by 0.6 percentage points. Operating costs have not been developing in favor, and we ended up with a disappointing result on the EBITDA level, which was 41.5% lower than last year, on the level of 11.4 million, and on an EBIT level of 8.1%, which is roughly 50% lower than last year. In terms of the most important strategic initiatives in the selected divisions, I only will quickly talk you through what we plan for the year ahead. We have in Germany acquired Convenience Concept. Convenience Concept offers significant refurbishment and repositioning opportunity. You see that on page 15. We will invest 40 million in that market to reposition our convenience stores that we develop in a collaboration with Deutsche Bahn, and also our existing Sego stores, which is more comparable to our kiosk format in Switzerland. On the next page, 16, you see that we invest another 40 million over the next 3 years in Switzerland in the refurbishment of our main kiosk format. These formats will gear their category mix more towards food and will therefore reduce their exposure to the overall press market decline over time, and will, by doing that, stabilize the actual profit or margin contribution from that business. On page 17, the plan for Ditch Pretzelkönig, I think we communicated that extensively in the past. We see significant growth in that format. All our assumptions so far that we communicated so far have been confirmed. In terms of investment, we will invest roughly 50 million over the next 3 years. This includes investment in the actual POS growth, but also in the production facility and the maintenance. In terms of synergies, on the next page 18, we expect the synergy effect on EBIT level of approximately 4 to 5 million by 2017. This stems mainly from the POS that existing kiosks POS that we transform in Ditch Pretzelkönig here in Switzerland, plus in increased collaboration between the formats. In terms of products, we expect a synergy of an additional 2 to 3 million by selling, cross-selling products from the Ditch Pretzelkönig family at the kiosks and vice versa, our own brand OK in the Ditch Pretzelkönig channel. On page 19, we illustrate again the decrease of the exposure to the price market. Most importantly, what we announced today is that over the course of the next month, we will engage in discussion with potential partners for that business. We intend to contribute our business in partnerships. This can be joint ventures or corporations with existing players here in the Swiss market, and we intend that by Q3 this year we can provide you with more detail on the actual implementation of such a partnership. In terms of the strategic initiatives in Valora Trade on page 21, you see the relative development of the classic trade categories and the new categories I mentioned earlier. Overall, as I said, the Valora Trade division is in a challenging market environment. What we will do over the course of the next months and what we started to do at the end of last year is to reposition our principal mix and the principal portfolio and try to enhance our cost position by basically cost managing the costs more closely and more effectively in that division. In terms of projections on page 24, I think very important to understand our guidance for 2013 is to adjust our 2012 reported results by the one-off effects we had last year. We had, as I mentioned earlier, a successful divestiture of our Service Austria business of 23 million book gain on that transaction. We have a book loss of 14.2 million on the divestiture of our Muttenz facilities, and we had significant acquisition costs, one-off costs related to the transactions we completed last year, and the IAS 19 effect, so an effect, non-cash effect related to our pension liabilities of 7.3 million, which brings us to a operating result as a starting point for our guidance of roughly 52 million. On page 25, the guidance for 2013, on the basis of this 52 million, we will have significant full year effects from the businesses we acquired over the course of last year of 13 to 15 millions, the most important effects coming from the acquisition of Ditch and Convenience Concept. We have growth and synergies of 12 to 14 millions planned, again mainly related to the rollout of the Ditch Pretzelkönig growth plan, the refurbishment and opening of new stores of Convenience Concept, and some growth also contributed by our existing Swiss retail business and the trade business, which brings us to a guidance level of roughly 75 million, deducting the service, including the positive effects of Nilo, basically the press market decline, which we account for net of the third-party distribution business of 3 to 5 million for this year. We anticipate that the price market will decline at the same rate as it did over the last 2 years, so we see no flattening of that trend in that year. On top of that operating result of 75 million, we anticipate again significant one-off effects in 2013. Some of these effects are again related to IAS 19. These are positive effects of IAS 19, mainly related to the adjustment of the annuity rates. This brings us to a EBIT guidance of 80 to 85 million for 2013. On page 26, starting on the level of 75 million as an operating result, we anticipate over the course of 2 years, 25 to 28 million of growth and synergies in our existing businesses, again, heavily related to Ditch and the convenience concept, by maximizing the potential we have in these two units, but also in the Swiss kiosk business and the trade business. And between 2013 and 15, we anticipate from the press market the service division a slightly less negative impact. From a press market point of view, we still anticipate that the press market is deteriorating at a similar percentage rate, but we anticipate positive results from our third-party distribution business that will reduce the negative impact to a level of 2 to 3 million, which ends up in a guidance for 2015 of roughly 100 million. This is excluding any potential one-off effects that we will certainly also have in these 2 years. On page 27, we announced today as well the optimization of our liability structure in the first half of 2013. We, as you know, and as I mentioned earlier, we financed the acquisition of Ditch Pretzelkoenig with a syndicated loan to optimize now the liability structure and the maturity profile on our balance sheet. We decided that we will partially refinance this syndicated loan by a hybrid bond placement that is planned to take place within the next couple of weeks, depending on the overall market conditions. On page 30, we made another important announcement today in terms of the dividends. The board of directors proposes to the AGM a dividend of overall 12.5 Swiss francs per share, 6.65 from that 12.5 franc dividend is a distribution from profit, and 5.85 is actually a dividend that is paid out of the capital reserves, the Kapitaleinlagen, which is exempted from the withholding tax under Swiss law. This results in a net dividend of 10.17, which compares to 7.47. So on a gross level, we intend to increase our dividend by roughly 9%, and on a net level, due to this positive withholding tax effect of more than 35%. This results in a payout ratio of 80% compared to 56% last year on the basis of an EPS of 15.6 Swiss francs per share. On page 31, a quick overview on the recommendation to the AGM that will be held on April 18 in Basel. As I mentioned, the raise of the dividend to 12.50 Swiss francs per share. We intend to also create again, the authorized share capital of up to 250,000 shares, which is equal of roughly 7% of the shares currently outstanding. This replaces the still existing facility that has been granted by the AGM 2 years ago that will expire in April this year. All the current board members are up for re-election, and Mr. Ditch, the founder of Ditch Pretzelkoenig, and our major shareholder is up for election to the board of directors as well. This probably in terms of a quick overview of what we presented today here in Zurich, and I would suggest that we open the call for questions now.
The first question comes from Mr. Jean-François Mimondi from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on your EBIT. You kind of said it, but I just want confirmation. Your 100 million of EBIT guidance for 2015, it's excluding one-offs, i.e., let's say it's a cash EBIT, whereas your 85 million of EBIT in 2013, there is only 75 million of cash component there. Would that be correct?
That's correct. So the 100 million EBIT guidance for 2015 is, as I said, a purely operating guidance, excluding any potential non- or cash-relevant one-off effects.
Yeah, of course. Then the second one is on your depreciation. Let's say, would the addition, the fully consolidated Digital Clinic, change considerably your depreciation? Or can we think about a 55, 56 million overall depreciation for full year 13?
I mean, the answer is yes, it changed the profile, but the question whether it changes significantly, and I think we have been quite transparent in terms of the actual investments we anticipate and in that division overall, you can assume that we invest over the course of the next 3 years pretty much in balance with our current depreciation profile, including the Ditch Brezel Koenig division.
Okay. Just a last one on the number crunching. We tried this morning, but no luck, so maybe more luck now. Can you please give me precise CapEx guidance for 2013? Should I go with 65 million, i.e., let's say the spread of 3 years more or less equal? Should I have more capex in 2013? And then also, if you would have a sense also for your interest paid in 2013, would be magic.
Okay. So this is two more questions, right?
Yeah.
First, that's fine.
I can have more if you want also, but we'll start with this.
Sure, but I think there are.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm happy to answer both questions. In terms of the CapEx allocation, yearly allocation, we gave you the guidance of overall CapEx of 200 million over 3 years for the group. And we show you the 40 million for our German retail business, 40 million for the Swiss business, and 50 million for the Ditch business. So you see that we have also a significant amount of regular maintenance CapEx included in the overall CapEx figure. Mm-hmm. And in terms of a yearly allocation, you can assume that because we start now the growth initiative after the testing phase in our POS in Switzerland and Germany in the first half of 2013, that we will invest roughly according our previous year, so probably 65 million is not completely wrong as a figure in 2013. We have a slightly higher invest in 2014 because then the rollout is on full steam, so to say, in these areas, and a significant decrease then in CapEx overall in 2015. So if this is helpful, that's in terms of the guidance we gave this morning for 2013, 65 million is probably the right ballpark number in terms of CapEx. But what is important to understand is we have a very detailed CapEx planning for our initiatives in retail Germany and Switzerland. But obviously, depending on the results we will realize in the first half year 2013, we will be free to slightly adjust that schedule, either to slightly accelerate the investment or adjust the actual rollout first before we then roll it out full steam in 2014. Overall, our CapEx planning and cash flow planning in the group is completed on a three-year basis and is actually discussed even on a five-year plan with the board. With a certain flexibility to adjust the CapEx level over the years depending on the results of the actual refurbishment.
Understood. Just very important for us to get the first signed for the first year, but understood on your overall thinking.
Then in terms of interest, the interest has been affected our financial results significantly by the syndicated loan, the increase in the leverage on our balance sheet. Going forward, you can anticipate that with the partial refinancing of the syndicated loan, we try to achieve a small optimization of that financial result, also related in a three-year cycle, moderate deleveraging we anticipate, but overall you cannot expect that the financial results in terms of the percentage interest we pay will decrease significantly from the existing level. It's rather an optimization of the overall overall maturity profile. What comes with it is actually a slightly optimization of the interest on the syndicated loan, but it will be too early now to communicate results in terms of a reduction of the financial results ahead of the actual placement of the hybrid bond without knowing the details of the actual coupon on that bond plus the size of that bond.
Sure, understood. So let's say we'll take the base of H2 2012 as a working assumption then. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mrs. Caroline Price from Caprius Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is regarding the, if you could give any more, I know you can't give any detail, but could you just talk more about the nature of the hybrid bond? I mean, is the hybrid aspect, you know, in terms of the fact that it's considered perpetual, or is there expected to be some kind of equity conversion? I'm just wondering if you can give any more indication on the structure of it. I just want some kind of, if you could confirm that Dutch Bretzelkönig would continue to be reported as a separate unit, because my understanding is it's intended to manage it separately, although you do have plans to, obviously optimize the cross-selling and so forth, but I'm just want to understand a little bit, you know, also, you know, how you're going to determine what prices and who, you know, who does what, who pays for what in terms of refurbishment. I'm just curious how you figure that out between the divisions. And then could you give some indication now on the process, where you're at with the communications and IT outsourcing? My notes tell me that there was supposed to be some 20 to 30 positions more likely to go in 2013 from the completion of the outsourcing. And then along with that, maybe some kind of indication where you expect what you're expecting to happen with the headcount this year. And then finally, were there any sort of one-off type of IT costs in 2012, considering the transitional nature of what was going on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just to make sure on the third part, or the, your third question actually, you refer to the IT outsourcing initiative. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah.
So let me maybe start with the last two questions. I mean, our IT outsourcing project has been completed in the second half of last year. We are now fully on plan, on track with that project. The main effect of that is that we will not have to bear any further investments, so we do not have to allocate CapEx for the or significant CapEx for the part of the IT that has been outsourced last year. So referring to your notes, this has been actually completed in 2012. We are now in the process of rolling out the full outsourcing across all the units, but basically you see the effect already in the results last year, where we have a slight increase of the other operating costs related to the contract with the T-System and a slight deduction of the personnel expenses of the IT personnel that has been operating the IT for us internally previously. In terms of one-off costs, the answer is yes. We have not quantified these one-off costs, but quite obviously related to a project of that size, you always have one-off costs that are not recurring, but as I said, we have not quantified this in detail. But in terms, they're in an order of magnitude that they are not that significant that it would require a one-off adjustment of our overall operating result last year. In terms of DEECH, we will continue to report DEECH as a separate unit. This is mainly due to the fact, first, that we operate a completely different business model than in the other divisions. We're, as I said, active not only in retail, but also in the production of our products that we sell at our own POS and that are also sold in the wholesale channel. Therefore, we have a completely different margin contribution, and that's the main reason why we report it in a separate unit, fully transparent for you and the other investors. Secondly, we, as you said, intend to manage also the operation of DEECH Brezza-König separately, as we do with the other divisions. However, we are in the process now of integrating the administration and the financial management of that division on a group level, but that has not been fully completed yet. That's one of the reasons why, for example, net working capital increased last year towards the end of last year quite significantly. On your first question, in terms of the hybrid structure, what we intend is not a hybrid structure with a conversion element. So it's not a typical convertible bond, but it's a hybrid for bond, which is mainly defined by the fact that it's it has an unlimited maturity and therefore is reported under IFRS under the equity of the company. This is one element that helps us to improve the conditions on the syndicated loan on the short term. This is the positive effect I referred to earlier on the financial results. So besides a deleveraging over time that will reduce our financial results over time, we will also have a rather short-term effect after the placement of the bond on our conditions related to the syndicated loan. But this has not been the only reason why we decided to place a hybrid bond. We actually evaluated all the different instruments that are available in the capital markets. Another reason why we decided to place a hybrid bond, that we decided that we only partially want to refinance the syndicated loan, and hybrid bonds can also be placed in a smaller amount than, for example, a straight bond, which again helps us to manage our balance sheet over the course of the year, where we have significant changes in the actual debt consumption and the cash levels we operate.
Okay, thank you. Just the question about the headcount. I mean, with the expansion plans that you have, but much of that, I guess, is going to be on the agency model. But in Germany, you can't do the agency model. So I'm just curious. I mean, have you given any kind of indication for what you would expect to be happening to headcount?
I mean, what's happening on headcount? First of all, we operate in Germany a franchise model. So almost our whole network is operated under a franchise model, including the stores we acquired in the convenience concept transaction. We have a different situation in Switzerland. You referred to the agency model. We actually rolled out our agency model also this year very successfully in Switzerland. We're now at the level where roughly 30% of our POS are operated under the agency model. We gave a clear indication that we will go ahead with that and that we have a target in place for 2017, which also has been communicated earlier or last year, that we will have more than 90% of our stores operated under that model. In terms of personnel expenses, what you will see is a shift from personnel expenses towards our other operating costs. Last year, as part of the rollout, we have seen quite a significant effect, so a decrease in personnel expenses and an increase in other operating costs. There is also related to that a small positive impact, but the main positive impact in the last year's result is actually related to the fact that the POS that have been transformed into agency performed slightly better than the other stores due to the entrepreneurial motivation of the agencies. On top of that, we had a positive effect on personal expenses that is not directly related to the agency model. We improved cost management, personnel expense management in our own stores last year quite significantly, and that's an additional positive effect you see in the personnel expenses last year, but we have not given any guidance for the coming years on that line item.
Yeah, thanks for your help.
Thanks for your question.
Next question comes from Mrs. Alexandra Schlegel from Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a quick question regarding the dividend policy. Do you have a policy that you always pay out at least what you paid out the year before? So actually, if you pay out this year 12.50, can I expect at least the same dividend for the coming years?
Well, we have no policy in place that would define that we always pay the same as in previous year or more. but I think it's very clear that Valora had a very strong commitment also over the last years, and the existing board had a very strong commitment to a stable or positive dividend payments. So probably just to illustrate briefly the thinking about the increase in the dividend and the guidance going forward. The board has discussed extensively the long-term plan on the basis of a bottom-up planning with the divisions and evaluated the cash generation over the next 3 to 5 years in the company and decided, also related to the CapEx planning that has been done very diligently, that a more significant amount can be paid out this year and also for the upcoming years on the basis of that planning. That's the main reason for the increase from 1150 to 1250. And to answer your question directly, yes, you can expect that the board is committed to a stable and continuing dividend policy, which is related to a long-term cash planning. And Mr. Benedict also said today very clearly that we have, as we said earlier, completed Valora for growth in terms that we are very happy with the network, we're very happy with the businesses we own, we are very happy also with the performance, stable performance we see now in the retail businesses, and we are convinced that the growth momentum that we acquired through Convenience Concept and Ditch Brezelkönig will be implemented successfully, and therefore you can expect at least a stable development of our dividend over the next years.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Jean-François Memandi from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking follow-up. Two only this time. One more technical on dividend, actually. Would you pay, because you say you would pay 80% of EPS as dividend, and let's say there is a technical difference as you have non-cash one-offs in 13, would you pay 80% of recurring EPS or of reported EPS?
Yeah.
Yes, to which?
Sorry, I waited for your second question.
The second one is on the press market. You say you anticipate a deceleration of the negative trend. Let's say, I guess difficult to say, but in your thinking, at what level would the press market settle and stabilize?
Yeah. Okay. Let me answer your first question on the dividend. Very important. Payout ratio is the indicator that the board communicated today, but is not the driving force behind the policy. So regardless of cash, non-cash effects on our EPS, the dividend has been defined exclusively on the level of the long-term cash generation and the cash planning in the company. So what the board has done is actually to assess how much dividend can we pay on a moderate level and to shareholders on a sustainable, stable level over the next 3 to 5 years in line with the planning they discussed for all the divisions. So if the actual payout ratio is rather a result of that discussion than the actual policy. But to put a handle on the actual policy, we defined that the current 80% level that we came to is a good indication going forward, and but should not imply that depending on changes, be it cash or non-cash in the actual EPS, that over the years the dividend would actually fluctuate due to that. But as I said, the 12-15 is rather a long-term, sustainable, stable commitment that the board gives.
Sure, but just on that one, let's say, I will have to assume that regardless of cash or non-cash, basically, in both things, your EPS should increase, okay?
Yes.
Assuming those two, the 15 million, even post-tax, makes a huge difference in your results because that's money you won't have on cash flow. So in one scenario, you cover your dividend with free cash flow. On the other side, that looks very, very stretched. And so basically, let's say, would you look at free cash flow in terms of dividend or you look at EPS? Because if you look at free cash flow, you pay with recurring EPS in 13, just in 13, I would mean. And let's say just, let's say it's one or the other, and I didn't quite get your answer. Like, I see the 12.50 as a floor, but either I will jump to 13 or to 13.5. Let's say it's just an example. Didn't do the numbers yet, but it is a material difference for your cash flow statement, actually.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. So maybe I explained probably in a little bit more detail what we have done.
I understand what you have done, but the answer for 13, because it's a year with very material, in terms, it's 20% of your EBIT, right? So it is extremely material, and let's say it's one or the other, basically, there.
Yes. So the 2013, to answer your question, in terms of cash flow, if you go to our cash flow statement, I think it's on page 13 in our presentation, seen that the cash flow has been very much affected in 2012 by the integration of the acquisition. So as I mentioned earlier, we had negative impacts on our...
Sure. But just doing on projection, let's say, with you paying on recurring EPS, you cover free cash flow. You cover dividend with free cash flow.
Yes.
Let's say it is not a lot more, but it is that. If you start paying on reported EPS, then at least according to first calculations, and ignoring any move on balance sheet, it's not the case anymore.
So the answer is very clearly we cover dividends with free cash flow.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry.
Perfect. Thanks.
Maybe misunderstood your question in first place. Yep.
Okay.
On your second question, in terms of the price market, what we show the effect that the limited or reduced negative effect in services in the years 2014 and 15, this is a net result of a continuing negative impact of the price market. I cannot give you an indication how the market will develop. I can only confirm that we have been continuously planning with the same rate of decline in the price market as we experienced over the last 2 years, also for the upcoming 2 to 3 years. But what we will see in the years 14 and 15 is a significant more positive effect from the third-party distribution business, the Nilo, so the night logistics business we operate, and the PUDO business, pick-up and drop-off business we operate in combination with our retail stores. And that's why the actual overall negative impact from services we anticipate in 14 and 15 is declining. And it's less related to the fact that we expect in our planning a significant slowdown of the negative trend in the price market.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
So maybe from my side, thank you very much for attending this conference call. We are very pleased with the development in the retail division. We have seen that the situation, despite the negative trend from the press market specifically, but also from the overall market environment, we managed to stabilize that division. And with the acquisitions we made and completed in Germany, the convenience concept, we are absolutely certain that we will manage to deliver the positive growth also in that division in the upcoming years. We acquired with this Spätzlekönig a format that will contribute significantly to the growth, and that's we said earlier, our service and trade divisions have not been performing that well. In services, we clearly expected that, mainly market-related effects, and we are in the middle of a process to enter in potential partnerships and cooperations for that part of the business to stabilize that business. That part of the initiatives is not reflected in our planning yet, so this could have an additional effect, hopefully positive impact on our planning. And trade markets will remain challenging, and we will have to continue to work on the cost side of that business, but also in terms of an improvement of the margins on the actual mix of our business, the principal mix we operate there. So thank you very much from my side, and have a good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.